Good evening and good Erev Shabbos, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. It is an honor to have an opportunity to spend a few minutes learning together and reflecting together on this Erev Shabbos. This week's parsha begins with the words Vayishma Yisro. And Yisro heard. The Torah tells us Vayishma Yisro Chohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Eskol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo. That Yisro heard of all the things that Hashem had done on behalf of Moshe and the Jewish people. And Rashi tells us, Umashmua Shama Uba, what in particular is it that Yisro heard? Kriyas Yamsuf Umelchamas Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the sea, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, and the war with Amalek. But the question which many ask and many wonder is, why is it that the Torah is highlighting over here that Yisro heard? It was not just he who heard, everyone heard. The entire world heard of these events. We say every day in the Az Yashir, Shamu Amim Yirgazun. Nations far and wide heard of the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the events of Kriyas Yamsuf, but yet the Torah highlights the fact that it was Yisro who heard and specifically changed who he was because of his learning of these events. Rav Mordechai Druck in the Sefer Darash Mordechai offers a very, very interesting and a very insightful explanation. And that is that he says that Yisro heard like everybody else, but his hearing was a little different because he had the capacity and with great intent, he tried to, if you will, connect the dots of what it was that he was hearing. He points out that very often in life we hear things, we learn about things, but it doesn't necessarily have an effect, an impact on us. Yisro internalizes what he sees. He allows it to penetrate his mind and his heart, and he makes a very deliberate and conscious effort to not simply move on, but rather he really, really tries to think deeply about what does this have to do with me. Rav Druck points out that this characteristic of Yisro is actually reflected in his name. We know that Chazal tell us that one of the names of Yisro was Yeser, which of course has the first three letters of Yisro, the Yud, the Tav, and the Resh, and the Vav, which was added, reflects the fact that he was the kind of person who tried to be mechaber, to connect different things. The Vav HaChibur says, Rav Druck, Yesh L'Adam Harba Yedios. There are people who have, we learn about things all the time. We have lots of information. Achweinu mechaber osam lamasim, but we do not try to connect them and attach them to action. Yisro, on the other hand, Hashem Shama Hu Chiber Asayedo Shalo V'horido Solach Lamasa Hosifu Lo V'achivu B'lishmo. Yisro was the kind of person that when he heard something, when something happened, it changed him, it impacted him, and he tried to connect those dots. And Rav Druck goes on to point out that Achashverosh, who of course plays a very, very significant role in the story of Megillas Esther, at the very end of the Megillah, when the story is basically over, the Pasuk says, Vayasam HaMelech Achashverosh Masa Lo'aretz V'yayom. Achashverosh goes ahead, and he introduces a new tax. And over there, the name Achashverosh is spelled without a Vav. Aleph Ches Shin Resh Shin. The Vav is missing. What happened to the Vav? So Rav Druck says, just as Yisro has a Vav that's added to his name in order to reflect that the fact that he is able to connect the dots, Achashverosh, after all is said and done, all that transpires in the Megillah, the incredible development of the entire story, he doesn't connect the dots. He doesn't see the big picture. And he certainly has no interest in changing his life in any way. And after all is said and done, what's he interested in? Money. He raises taxes, just like when it all started. Now, last week, I was informed in the very, very last moments before the end of Shabbos that there was a hostage situation in a shul in Texas. We didn't have more information at the time, but obviously when you hear about a hostage situation in a shul, it is very shocking. It's not the kind of thing you ever want to get used to. And in the moment, without having any more information, not knowing what was going on, we did the one and only thing that we could do at that time, and that is that we stayed a few more minutes in shul to say Tehillim to daven. And then we went home, and we davened again, and we waited, and we waited. And we were, of course, grateful to learn of the outcome, that the hostages were rescued or escaped to safety. And all of us breathed at the time and continued to breathe a great sigh of relief. And then what? So here we are, almost a week later. Is there anything more to say? Is there anything more to do? So I have nothing particularly profound. I don't presume to have such great insight, to offer commentary, perspective, certainly not anything that hasn't already been shared. But like Yisro, I feel that we have a sacred obligation to try our best to process events like these by trying to connect various dots and try to emerge different people. I've heard many different reactions over the course of the past week, ranging from conversations around security, could have this been avoided, better handled? And to be clear, I have no intention of addressing these points tonight. Yes, these are important conversations, and I trust that people who should be having them will continue to do so in a productive and a responsible manner. But that is not my intention. Having had several days to process this frightening and harrowing event, and trying to be inspired by Yisro's example, I would like to share four brief reflections for your consideration this evening. Number one, I think that this is an opportunity to say thank you. Day after day, week after week, hundreds, truly thousands, hundreds of thousands of us attend synagogues all over the country and all over the world. And while some of us may be more concerned and worried than others, I think we would all agree that 99.9% of the time, these experiences prove to be safe and uneventful. And it's time like this when we should pause from our typical mode of complacency and to say thank you. And to who should we be saying thank you? Well, first and foremost, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, and this was one of the psukim that we said on Motzei Shabbos when we first learned of the hostage situation, Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Behold, the shomer Yisrael, the guardian of Israel, lo yanum v'lo yishan. He does not slumber, he does not sleep. Now let's think about that pasuk for a moment. Hine means behold. This is a word that the Torah uses to describe the discovery of something which is new and unexpected. There are many, many examples of Hine. You could look throughout Chumash, you'll see it again and again. A famous example comes to mind when Yaakov wakes up in the morning after having married Leah. He discovers her identity and it says, Hine hi Leah. Behold, whoa. But why is it that we say, Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomei Yisrael? In this context, what's the surprise? What's the behold? Of course, the shomei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not slumber, does not sleep. And the answer is because we don't appreciate it. Because most often, we don't realize that we are being guarded and protected 24/7 by the Shomer Yisrael. And after an event like this, it should make us all aware of our own vulnerability, and we should say thank you. We should try to get ourselves to come to a point where when we say that Hashem, the Shomer Yisrael, is lo yanu v'lo yishan, it's not hine, it's not wow, behold. We should say thank you to law enforcement agencies, nationally, locally. Now's not a time, although it's as good a time as any, to say and to recognize and to appreciate how fortunate we are to be protected and to be offered all the services that we are offered by law enforcement agencies all over the country and the world that protect us and all citizens of this country. And I would also say to our private security personnel within our shuls. I was actually thinking this past Shabbos as I was walking to shul and seeing our volunteer guards standing in front of the shul in the brutally cold weather. It was single digits. And thinking how devoted they are, standing out there in the freezing cold. On Shabbos morning, I said to one of them, thank you. You know, it was really cold this morning. And he says, it's all about layers. That's his response. Every Shabbos, and I go, I know I'm speaking not only to members of my shul, wherever you're davening right now, there's no question that there are volunteers who are spending much personal time when they could be in shul, when they could be learning, when they could be relaxing, reading, whatever it is that they could be doing, they are standing there on guard. And thankfully, most of the time, it's completely uneventful. But they are there, and to them, we say thank you. The second point I would like to make, we are living through frightening times. And I always struggle. On the one hand, I'm not looking to create panic or fear. On the other hand, how many incidents like this must occur for us to recognize and appreciate that there are forces of anti-Semitism that continue to threaten us? Undoubtedly, we are very fortunate to live in a country where we enjoy unprecedented freedom and protection. And for many reasons, which are obvious and more, we should continue to recognize and express gratitude for all of the blessings that we receive. But at the same time, we dare not bury our heads in the sand or pretend as if all is well and there is nothing to be concerned about. Related to this is to remind ourselves that an attack on one Jew is an attack on every Jew. An attack on one synagogue is an attack on every synagogue. And while most of us, I'm assuming, are not living in Colleyville, Texas, or Pittsburgh, or Poway, or Jersey City, we were attacked again this past Shabbos. Allow me to quote to you from the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. The Rav said, and I quote, if boiling water is poured on the head of a Moroccan Jew, the prim and proper Jew in Paris or London must scream, and by feeling the pain, shows himself loyal to the nation. Fate does not distinguish between nobility and common folk, between rich and poor, between a prince dressed in royal purple velvet and a poor man who goes begging from door to door, between a pious Jew and an assimilationist. When the Jew in the cave is attacked, the security of the Jew standing in the courtyard of the king is jeopardized. Kol Yisrael Chaverim, as Chazal tell us. We are all persecuted, or we are all saved together. And there are two other items that I would like to briefly address. Several hours after news broke of the safety of the hostage, many decided to publicly comment on the political views of Rabbi Citron Walker. I will not speculate regarding the intentions of these individuals as to what may possess some to obsessively research his views on Middle East politics or gun laws and more. But it is actually shocking to me that people can be so shallow and so crass to comment publicly regarding these issues in the first hours after someone came this close to being murdered in a terrorist attack. Needless to say, an exceptionally traumatizing experience that no one should ever know from. And to be clear, individuals who choose to promote their political views publicly may certainly be held accountable for their words, and when appropriate, be offered the opportunity to defend their points of view. This is true by any individual who chooses to make their political views public, certainly a public figure. But on the other hand, there is a time and place for everything. And in the age of social media, we time and time again see that nothing is off limits. People feel as if they have the right to react in real time at the push of a button. And these reflexes strip us of our decency and our humanity, and again brings out the worst in all of us. We would all be better off if we would pause, and then pause again, and maybe then again, before ever posting anything about another individual. As the very important teaching goes, not everything that one thinks should be said. And not everything that one says should be written down. And not everything that is written down should be published. In the age of social media, we go from thoughts to publication in an instant, a flash in time. And more often than not, it is my impression that we create many more problems than we could ever fix. The final point I would like to make, which is in some respects, I guess, similar to the previous point, but I believe that it requires its own moment of reflection. I hope I'm not informing you of something you have not already heard, but in various Jewish news outlets and social media and random conversations in the street, too many people were quick to point out Rabbi Citron Walker's failure to thank God for his personal salvation. And here again, others have gone out of the way to conduct personal research into the theological views of Rabbi Citron Walker. It pains me to call any attention to this, as it clearly reflects a profound shallowness and what appears to be a deep-seated insecurity on the part of individuals who are so self-absorbed and so short-sighted to notice such things, let alone call attention to them. It's awfully inappropriate. It's voyeurism, but it's wrapped in cloths of piety. And I'll tell you what I thought of when I heard this. I thought of this. Some of you, most of you may recognize what this is. This is a cassette tape. Unfortunately, I do not have anything in my house at the moment that can play this, but this is a tape that I treasure. It's of a shiur that I heard several times, but the last time I heard it was well over 20 years ago from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. And I wish I had the ability to play this recording because I would want you to hear it. But instead, I will rely on my memory, but you could mark my words that this is not a misquote, nor an exaggeration, or anything taken out of context. And anybody out there who has a cassette player, I'm happy to post the recording once I'm able to retrieve it from this tape. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that we cannot derive any lessons from the Holocaust. And we have to be very careful when reflecting upon meaning and symbolism and lessons. The Holocaust is just so big and unfathomable that we run the great risk of reducing it by comparing it to anything. And so therefore, he said there are no lessons to be learned, except for one. Rav Aaron said, and I can hear him say it, even though, again, it's been over 20 years, I could hear him say it, that there's one lesson that we can learn from the Holocaust. And that is that Hitler did not discriminate between different types of Jews. He did not care if you were Orthodox, conservative, Reform, or any other label that you could imagine, and God knows that there are plenty. Hitler did not care. As far as he was concerned, any association with the Jewish people, anyone who identifies or is identified as being a member of the Am Segula, as we're going to read in this week's parasha, is deserving of the same fate, death. And Rav Aaron lamented the fact that unfortunately so many Jews have yet to learn this lesson, and how tragically ironic it is that precisely at such a time, an opportunity to portray and display unity was squandered in such a profoundly grotesque way. How tragic it is that the very week in which the Torah declares that we are to be a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that we should react in such a way. Shame on us. Shame on our people for still failing to learn the one lesson, the Rav Aaron said, the one lesson that we can derive from the dark, dark chapter in history of the Holocaust. I'd like to conclude with a pasuk. We say the pasuk all the time, Hashem oz lamo yitain, Hashem yivarecha samova shalom. Hashem should give his people oz, and Hashem should bless his people with peace. May Hashem grant us with oz, which means strength, to protect ourselves and our communities from harm. May we find the strength to shield ourselves from the howling winds of anti-Semitism, frightening face of terror, wherever it lurks. You know, but our rabbis also teach us that oz also means Torah. And so may the Torah unite us. May it inspire us. May it give us greater meaning, insight, and depth. And inspire unity as a people, and give us the ability, the capacity to respond appropriately in tragic situations like this. May they never happen again. Hashem oz la'amo yitain. Our strength, our physical strength, comes from our ability to connect with oz, which is Torah. And then we ask Hashem yivarech esamo v'shalom. Hashem should bless us, his people, with peace here in Israel, all over the world. May we come to see the day when acts of terror are stories of the past, when we can go to shul, we can go shopping, when we can walk the streets without having to fear the cowardly, frightening, murderous acts of terrorists. Hashem oz li'amo yitain, Hashem yivarech esamo v'shalom. Thank you, and have a wonderful Shabbos.